Hello and welcome to Mike's Arnav Podcast, episode 138, for the 20th of August, 2017. Well, welcome to another week's review of what's been going on in the Arnav Google Groups. And Wednesday was the Reading Geeks, various tech groups, particularly those that arrange their meetups via meetup.com, getting together with PHP Bucks at the Thames Tower for a party that they organised. It was very well attended, and must have been something like 15 different groups represented. Didn't realise there were so many in Reading, even a couple I hadn't heard of, such as the Tester Group, which I shall have to look up. Sounds like they might be a valuable contact and groups to get together with for our lab, as we're often looking at testing bits and pieces. It's held at the top of the Thames Tower. Unfortunately, Wednesday, of course, was open night at the Hackspace, and so clashed with that. Around over 70 people attended, which is a sort of great turnout. And if you haven't been up there, it's great, great views. And a bit blowy, but was dry. They have a sort of open-topped area, so it's not strictly a roof garden, but I'm not sure what you'd call it, but it's certainly an open area outside and an indoor area as well. So thanks to Austin Fraser, who are the sponsors of the regular PHP Barks meetup in their offices a couple of floors below, who funded the food and the drink. And there was more than enough drink to go around, not quite enough pizza, but I think everybody had their fill. Very well organised, and they're already talking about another Christmas one. So let's dive into what's been going on in the Google group. Arthur posted that he's selling his powerhouse stroke gaming PC that he built a couple of years ago, and gives some details on. He says, given that it cost just shy of £1,500, he's looking for a good price, and some comments come back. And that's part of what our lab does, is it gives some honest feedback, which you don't necessarily get when you're putting straight up on eBay, for example. Ben points out that two-year-old PCs, systems devalue pretty rapidly, and 50% would be a good success in terms of getting a sale. Disappointingly for Arthur. But if you're interested, no one's claimed it yet, have a check out on the specs if it's something that you're interested in the parts, if not the whole machine. And there was a bit more feedback from an earlier post in July talking about a company called Amber Spyglass. And Stephen says, I bought a whole kit from them at the end of 2014. The kit is excellent, instructions clear, and enjoyed making my eShapoko. So that was in reference to getting a supplier for spare parts and bits and pieces for the Shapoko. And I asked about the e-stops guide too, but I guess if there's a lot of changes going on in electrics downstairs, that will be one of the things that will be being changed, and so a guide will come out on that. That was in response to a faulty socket, or at least no power, that Mark found, and it was possibly an e-stop that he didn't know about that needed to be reset. And although the bid or the price of the new bandsaw, the replacement bandsaw suggested that was in the auction at Virtu, went for too high a price, it was a still the price that you could buy a second-hand one from Axminster or one of their special offer deals. So that was still of interest to Toby. But it was interesting that there were such a variety of things to do with the company, catering equipment and loads of sofas and such. It must have been a very interesting company to actually see as it was in business. It also indicates, given the test equipment, actually how much equipment is needed to set up a manufacturing operation. My thoughts for such a business would be that a lot of that would be outsourced. And Faye asks about a rotary attachment, and this was something that was discussed previously, and it's good that Toby dug out the link to the previous discussion about a fourth axis on the Piranha. But also there was some other discussion about it. You do it using the small laser as a test for this, and Jeremy puts a link through to that discussion, so that answers a lot of the questions rather than having to be re-asked for if I came out of the induction on the laser for themselves. And it's, yeah, it does seem like a logical thing to add. As Richard points out, it is available from Piranha themselves and may be supported by the control and may not use a standard stepper motor in terms of the controlling. But he also points to a Thingiverse project for creating a standalone axis. You'd obviously have to somehow integrate that into the schedule for the actual laser moving, but it should be possible. And I also found on the Thingiverse that there was a remix of it in a heavier duty version, actually showing a bottle. But as Tony points out, probably working engraving glass bottles would be more successful and easier using acid etching and the vinyl cutter to create the mask. Toby is seemingly exhausted from his activities in upgrading the Shapoko, and I guess his work on the Boxford Mill as well, and says that to set the expectations, I shan't be getting involved in such a project. Once the Shapoko has proved successfully working, then he plans to move on to his own personal projects. And fire your surprise, saying, I wasn't expecting my post to have this effect. And I was just curious about a few projects that would be easier with an extra axis. It's often the case that a simple post or comment can generate the hot topic of the week. But I think generally making standalone jigs and rigs and things to help hold pieces to be lasered is one of the techniques that Tony has introduced to be able to get things lined up when they wouldn't naturally line up on the bed. Or for instance, when I was doing the lolly sticks for the Merle Lates seed stick project, I created a small jig to hold the each of the sticks in the same position, so I didn't have to keep realigning the laser and losing some of the sticks, although they weren't all quite the same shape and size, so I did lose a few. But when I tried to do it as a block, which would logically have seemed easier to do sort of 10 at a time, I found it was actually less successful than doing them one at a time with a jig. And on the same or similar topic, relating to the laser, Richard said, I've split this off from the discussion about Lowe's rotary fixture because you can see the logic. What he was asking really was that how to rebuild the team that does the maintenance, given that Ryan has moved away, not available now, and Richard's availability is severely limited, as he says. Looking for basically to build a team of people to do the maintenance, so the various tasks that are required in terms of the laser, diagnostic problems, cleaning, alignment and repair, fixing faults, both electrical and laser-wise, and sourcing spares, lenses, mirrors, etc. He says, we now need to rebuild the team. Obviously availability is important, but also the ability to work within the trust of the team of maintainers. He says, it's unlikely that we have a single true master, so we need to build a team of complementary skills. I'm willing to continue to provide second level support in such a team. And the only answer on that one reply has been from Jeremy, who says he'd certainly like to learn more about how the laser cutter works, but can't commit to being highly available. So I guess we should look to have on the wiki such maintenance team and what particular skills people have, so their availability is more random. So having an idea of who to contact with particular types of problems would be a helpful thing. And I mentioned last week a post came in at the last minute about from Sam talking about a project that he put up. Some very good details of a block diagram of various parts, spark from Adafruit and other parts, putting together to form a composite board that he wants to design. So he was asking about the Board Stupid Evenings and whether they were continuing. They were the events on Mondays that were scheduled twice a month. But also, as I mentioned, was the idea, I think, was to sort of consolidate the hardware hacking, the design evenings and the altogether Board Stupid development to effectively form potentially 3 days of potential workshops around the same projects. Alex said he was be keen to get it restarted as his own experiments with KiCad have stalled, and he would like to restart them. Jeremy says, in what possibly remarkably good timing, Anson Bayo from PCBWay, who are a PCB manufacturing company, said, contacted me and willing to give our lab members a discount. I don't say what the discount is, but says, once you have registered with PCBWay, give them an email and the account details, and they'll apply a discount. Richard says that's great. Basic boards are cheap, but for fine pitch SMT or surface mount devices, I tend to get gold, so a discount would be nice. And on the stencils too, he said, what we need now is discounts from DHL, so obviously the transporting cost is disproportionate, I guess. But also he says he'll be ordering some boards, and that was last weekend, so you'll miss that, but if people are looking to do it and save discounts or get saved costs on the shipping, if that's a significant element, especially for a small number of boards, then post up that you've got a project. Coming back to Sam's project, I haven't seen a reply from him, so I don't know whether he hasn't been getting all of the questions that Richard has. But part of it was about the design, about what he actually wants to achieve, and what parts of it he wants to do himself. And so offering on last Tuesday. So I don't know if that went ahead. I need to find out a bit more from Sam about that. It's something I'd be interested in following through that sort of process as well. And talking about KiCad, Jeremy says, I've just seen in my weekly digest on the KiCad forums, and puts a link to it, about DigiKey adding PCB model downloads. He says, be aware that the parts are not suitable for use in open source projects, as pointed out in the discussion on the forum. That's often the problem with these models, something you have to watch on Thingiverse as well, about what the license terms are. And Jeremy also says, my wife has been on Pinterest again, do we have the kit to do this? And points to an article on ehow.com, how to flatten wine bottles. Goes into great detail as to how to remove the label, but the key to it is to have a high temperature electric kiln, which we don't have in the space. We did have a kiln, but it only got up to 800 degrees, and that wasn't enough, wouldn't be enough. I think you need 1400 degrees to be able to soften glass to this extent, if I remember rightly. And another in the What Does Our Lab Do For Me, Oliver says, anyone interested have a need or use for some assorted wood floor samples? They are engineered wood, top layer hardwood, and then ply underneath. And Faye claims them on behalf of Marie, so it's gone to a good home. And that's what is always great to see in the groups. And on a similar subject to a bottle melting, Jeremy says, anyone have one of these, a glass bottle cutter? And he points to an Amazon. No reply on either of those subjects at the moment. Okay, they said, just looking at the Amazon thing, it's one of those with a sort of rotary table, actually not dissimilar to the motorized one we were talking about as a rotary axis for the laser cutter, but this one has a glass cutter built into it so that you get a groove. Remember a long time ago when I was looking at doing a project like that, we had a different one that went on the top of the bottle and you spun round, and it was a sort of quite adjustable, so you could get a lot of different places on the bottle, but would have been a bit trickier to use than this one. They always try and say how you can use a bottle as a glass, but getting a nice smooth edge is the trick with those, and they tend to be too thick for drinking out of, I think. And Arthur posts up some new pictures of the bike stand that I mentioned last week. He posted up about in a new thread. I've pretty much finished the bike stand, taking the wobble out of it, added foam to the jaws, and given it a paint job. The welds are ugly, but strong enough to hold an e-bike as long as it hasn't been filled with lead, he says. My fault for not doing test welds to get the settings right. Anyway, the last two things are to put some black tape on the jaws for cosmetic reasons and put a handle on the thread that clamps it to the pillar, he says. So, he said, I also bought a bicycle toolkit for the space. It has all the specialist tools that is awkward to find a hack when you don't have them, such as cassette bottom bracket, key remover, crank puller. And so he shows pictures of those. It's great. Mark says, so useful, super job. And Keegan says, I have a few things to tweak on his e-bike. And of course, he's doing an e-bike conversion project. So be interesting to see. I haven't seen him pictures riding it yet. So come on, Keegan, we need to know how your project is going. And lastly, I'd say, yes, we're going to ask if anyone's actually got a crank puller to for sale, an old second-hand one. It doesn't need to be that great, but it's what I want to take away from the space. It's a stop for my own bike to be used on a cousin's bike. So I'd like to have one. I don't necessarily need to buy a new one, so I'll ask if anyone's got a second-hand one in this thread, or maybe a separate thread might be the right place for it. And new poster Jamoy says, anyone kind enough to look at two laptops for me, an HP and a Dell? My cousin had them 4 years and they haven't used them since last January, but they won't turn on. Can anyone help? And Keegan says, I believe we are hosting the next Repair Cafe on the September the 17th. So if nothing else, it's worth popping down with them then. And points to the Transition Town reading.org.uk link for Repair Cafe. And of course, that's a open to the public event held. Well, I don't know. Yes, I guess August. Yeah, not sure about August, as I wasn't available anyway. But 17th of September certainly is one. But that says location to be confirmed, whereas October is down for our lab. But they do have a regular laptop support person, not an our lab member, actually. A couple of people go along, including other our lab people who help out, both on laptops, but often on a wider variety of domestic appliances. And wood collecting has been a big topic recently for various projects. And Toby posts up about some that he's found in the wild. But as Oliver points out, sometimes these trimmings are not available for people just to take away. They can be left there for stag beetles and various other beetles to make their homes in. It's obviously unclear when there's a little pile out in public land. A lot of public land is council owned, and so the wood would be too. So I think that's the implication behind the discussion in this thread. And I'm pleased that John over at Radark posts up his events, and this time has given a good bit of notice about another evening they're having at the Reading Rugby Club, which is out on Sonning side of Reading, next Thursday, the August 24th Thursday, at 7 o'clock. Said it was billed as drinks last time, but given the folks seem to enjoy it, we'll do the same, maybe with a bit more low-key. The reason is it's billed as drinks is that we get a chance to relax a bit, but with a nod to health and safety, I think we can combine the two. Feel free to bring along any portable gear to play, experiment with. Be aware that there may be 100 watt of RF kicking about on high frequency, which delicate equipment may not appreciate if connected to any nearby antenna. For fun, if you have any vintage veteran gear you might want to demonstrate to people, not necessarily radio, feel free to bring it. Simon and I like Tilly Labs, and one came out to play last time. Well, a Tilly Lab certainly isn't a radio piece of equipment, but maybe a critical part for a radio, what do they call them, when they're doing the remote transmission tests, etc., and people go out onto the wilds of high places and to be able to get out distances away from the towns. So it seems as though Radark is sort of much wider than just the radio amateur side of things. Starts at 7 p.m, but feel free to arrive earlier to help the setup or just enjoy the evening, he says. And in a nod to CB, he says, back to the salt mines. That is work for the old CBers, although I may be wrong. And that was the original message that went out on the group. And he says, lots of activities again. The low-key bit is rapidly disappearing as people seem to want to play. So that's great. And there is a small fee to be a member of Radark, but not excessive. And it's, I think, something £60 a year, if I remember rightly. But because we have a sort of partnership arrangement with them, they're more than happy to see members from our lab and other tech groups in Reading just turning up. and getting involved. And another giveaway, Pav said it's 90 or so diecast enclosures, and he was offering them to people, just hoping that a small donation extra to funds, it would be something that he could benefit from and others in the future. So lots of claims on those. I don't know whether all 90 have gone. If you're interested in one, check out the link, Free-ish Enclosures. And Alex does post up that his control panel enclosure looked great, and he should post some pictures up. And yeah, I saw it, and it did indeed look great. Some of the screen printing done by a friend of his really set it off as a professional look. Sort of project that you could easily do at our lab. And with the help of a screen printing friend, take it to that next level. And then there seemed to be a repeat of the thread I just mentioned about laptop testing with some slightly different answers. Alex and Stuart offering a bit of advice. And so Andrew, not sure what the state of that one is, have to watch out for updates. So coming to big topics of the week and the last few threads. People who've been along will know that a new window has been put in to the chill room, that the vending machine has been dismantled, physically involving sparks and noise, and enjoying Tom by the looks of it. Disappointing to those who wanted to take it out, but it proved to be impractical. New window in place, and there's going to be doors and bits and pieces downstairs going on, so Ian says that the new front door and heaters will be cluttering up the bay over the weekend. The aim is to get the door installed Monday and the heaters as well, Monday or Tuesday next week. So that's a fair warning for everybody. Tom apparently is not so good, so best wishes to him. Arthur and Ian are off to a wedding where Arthur is best man, it says. So hope they're having a good time up north. Because as I'm recording this podcast today, Sunday rather than last Thursday, due to all the activities that I had to get involved in, catching up on things on Friday or Saturday. Most of the weekend will be over by the time you hear this. And it follows on with some pictures of the changes going on. And they post some pictures up in the next thread of the changes in progress, including the said grinder. A lot lighter without it in, but also a lot quieter. The new window, double glazed, plastic framed and properly ceiling, say keeps the noise of the traffic and things out. So if you haven't seen them, check out the thread. A few pictures of the changing of the upstairs window. There's more to it than just that. So down to last couple of posts for this week. Fit into the half hour, by the looks of it, fairly easily. And this last but one post talks about table saw and a little bit of a mystery, although Ian gives an explanation as to what could be happening. Because Luke said that the table saw was out of action, not sure what was wrong, but there was an unsettling noise, and on stopping the saw, the brake seemed ineffective, and the blade had worked loose. So he's left a note on it, and Ian says, I had a look at this morning. There was no problems with the motor or blade mounts. And his conclusion is that it's a new blade, and it's a big blade. It means a lot of mass. The motor has a reasonably soft start, so the nut doesn't get tightened during starting due to starting torque, as it might do with a lighter blade. The blade is new, although I'd thought the heavier blade would actually have, but it's the soft start is obviously sufficiently soft that it doesn't have that effect. It says the blade is new and sharp, and so there is little tightening effect when you put wood through the saw. When you stop the saw, there's quite an effective brake on the saw spindle. The controller leaves power to one phase until the blade stops. So just thinking myself, that's obviously it's a three-phase machine. On an unbraked saw of this size, the blade can take ages to stop. The braking effect loosens the retaining nut. And so he says, my solution, I've ordered some Loctite 243. I imagine that's the type that is a sort of temporary lock that can be broken. We used to have red and blue, and as I recall, blue was the one that could break and red was the one that was stuck for life. But he says, it is safe to use, but keep an eye on the nut. And if you've had an induction on it, you should understand what he's talking about, and if you haven't, then you shouldn't be using it. So lastly, some updates on the Waving a Thing thread, which started off with what Toby Wall thought was a CNC lathe, but it was the spot welder, and we raised the funds for spot welder, but when Andy went back to the seller, he said it's apparently no longer available. The seller had it advertised elsewhere, so that's a shame from a personal point of view. Toby says that wasn't a CNC lathe. This is a CNC lathe, and points to a £7,000 CNC lathe over on Gumtree. And I must say, I haven't looked at Gumtree for a while, and I hadn't realised how it had changed, and the look and feel of it had changed. It has become much more of an eBay than what it was previously. Just more along the line of classifieds. There's a bit of discussion about the value of a CNC, and I know myself, having worked with CNCs on the measurement side of things, that the real value of CNC is CAD-CAM transferring designs directly to the machine and using it to make repeatable items in medium to large quantities without having to do it all manually. So often the time and effort in terms of getting all of the toolpaths set up isn't justified if you're not doing those repeatable items. The mill, on the other hand, is a different beast, given that it's sort of effectively doing the three-dimensional, which is the equivalent of the 3D printer in a negative rather than additive form, or subtractive rather than additive form. But if we're still interested, Toby points to a Boxford CNC lathe at 520, some 10% less, well, 10% of the price of a full-size one. So we'll leave that new tool suggestion hanging for this week as we finish the groups. Now, what I forgot to mention last week, as I was going to mention, was that there's also pictures and things posted over on the Twitter account of Reading Hack. So if you're looking for... if you don't use Twitter, you can still go and have a look at twitter.com/rdghack and have a look at what's been posted up there. Not only are there, or if you do a search on twitter/search and then you search for rdghack, not only do you get the ones that are actually posted by RDG Hack, but also you get any references to it in other tweets. So that's a couple of tips if you're looking mostly for pictures of projects and retweets of things that are interesting or of interest to members. So on that note, I shall say, Mike the Bee is signing off.